Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 341. Welcome back to the program. This week in the news, I want to mention a new sponsor that we have on the program. It is the Intellectual Linear Progression. What this is, essentially, is a Great Books program. If anybody out there is unfamiliar with a Great Books program, it is a program where you go through and you read these classic texts. And Brother Scott Hambrick has put together a wonderful way to do this, and it is a online community developing classically educated men and women using the great books of Western civilization. They are a new sponsor to us here at the show, and I thought how cool it would be to offer something like this to Masons, because we value the seven liberal arts and sciences, and we don't get through all of them without mastering certain things like grammar, rhetoric, and logic. And these books are the typical books that you would study in order to gain some of that knowledge. So I will invite you to please go to WCYpodcast.com, and on the right-hand side, go ahead and click on the green box that says Great Books Program, use code WCY. So by clicking through there and using that promo code, you actually get a percentage off for the first 3 months that you're doing it, and it is a great program. So check that out. I'm going to actually have Brother Scott on the program in just a few weeks, and he's going to be a guest. We're going to talk about various Masonic topics and the importance of reading, and I hope you guys will enjoy. In addition, we've got another special guest coming up in just a few weeks as well. More on that next week. And the big, new, exciting news is that I've been working with Brother John Ruark on writing a book. John and I alluded a little bit to this last week on the Masonic Roundtable, and we announced it on Facebook Live earlier today. So today is Sunday if you're listening to this at nighttime, or you know, we literally just announced it on April 22nd. The book is called It's Business Time, Adapting a Corporate Path for Freemasonry. Essentially, we wanted to write a book that was a concise guide to business practices that can be adapted for our craft. Things like lean, things like how to win friends and influence people, things like agile, things like the challenger sale, any number of these types of strategies. Of course, I went ahead and I published the first chapter of the book, which is called Who Moved My Cheese on the Midnight Freemasons. If you like the way that reads, then you're going to love this book. Again, this is by myself and Brother John Ruark. Brother Jason Richards was our editor, and the description just is as follows. Few books on the craft today offer logistical assistance on the operational lodge or its active officers. It's Business Time aims to offer a fresh look at the best practices that the world of business has spawned over the last 100 years, and to take these market-disrupting techniques and adapt them for use at the lodge level. Just because Freemasonry isn't inherently a business doesn't mean the organization can't benefit from industry-proven best organizational practices. It's Business Time lays out these modern concepts, their relevance to Freemasonry, in addition, an easy-to-understand guide. The work explores and adapts each concept for use across the organization, regardless of leadership level. If utilized appropriately, these concepts can be a powerful force multiplier in enabling lodges to succeed in the modern era. The first person that's read the book, of course, was Gregory J. Knott, our past master of St. Joseph Lodge number 970, and he's a senior contributor for Midnight Freemasons. And he said, as someone with an MBA, I have long studied some of the best business practices and how to use these in organizations that I have been associated with. Brother Johnson and Ruark have assembled some of the most innovative approaches used by successful companies and have illustrated how to adopt these for use in Freemasonry. This book is not about making Freemasonry a business, but rather applying these principles in building a successful lodge. I highly recommend this book to anyone looking for new and innovative ideas. So you guys can check that out if you just go to Amazon. It's available on Kindle for $9.99, and we have a print book for $15, and it is Prime, so you can get that right away. I hope you guys love it. Please leave us some reviews after you've read it. We'll have links to this also on our websites. And again, thank you so much for our patrons who are reading the book and giving us some great reviews. So again, on Amazon, It's Business Time, Adapting a Corporate Path for Freemasonry. It's the number one result. If you just type It's Business Time, Freemasonry, it'll pop right up. So thanks very much, guys. The first piece I have for you this week comes from the Midnight Freemasons, and I really liked this piece. I think it speaks to what we have to do sometimes in Freemasonry. And the name of that piece is Whence Came You? So without further ado, Whence Came You? The Challenge of Meeting Our Tenets, by Midnight Freemason contributor, Worshipful Brother Darren A. Laners. Whence came you? Three simple words, a question. What came you here to do? Another question. You are a Mason, I presume. Another question. What makes you a Mason? Another question. However, does the answer to this last question really all that makes you a Mason? Yes, technically, but aren't we more than that? Is the answer to the last question what really makes you a Mason? I don't believe that. I believe that it's part of what makes you a Mason, but being a Mason is more than just that two-word answer. I envy the Odd Fellows. They know exactly what they are all about. At the end of every Odd Fellow meeting, you recite the Odd Fellow's valediction. It is pretty much their mission statement. It is as follows. I am an Odd Fellow. I believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. I believe in friendship, love, and truth as basic guides to the ultimate destiny of all mankind. I believe my home, my church or temple, my lodge, and my community deserve my best work, my modest pride, my earnest faith, and my deepest loyalty as I perform my duty to visit the sick, relieve the distressed, bury the dead, and educate the orphan, and as I work with others to build a better world because in spirit and in truth I am and must always be grateful to my Creator, faithful to my country, and fraternal to my fellow man. I am an Odd Fellow. If you ask any Odd Fellow what the Odd Fellows do, they can recite this and give you a pretty good idea of what they're about. What would happen if you ask a Freemason about our mission statement? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if you ask 10 Freemasons this question, you're going to get 10 different answers. This is part of the problem we have. We don't have a singular identity. Yes, we have a long history, and that we like to talk about. We have a list of famous dead people, for the most part, that were Masons. We talk about the old days of Masonry when all these magnificent buildings were built, when Pike and Mackey were writing, when we think the lodges were packed to the rafters with Masons. The truth is that Pike and Mackey were experiencing the same things we're seeing now. To compound matters, there are so many differences from one Grand Lodge to another in the United States. There's hardly anything to unify us as a fraternity. Do we need a valediction like the Odd Fellows? I don't think it would hurt to have some idea of what our mission is. I believe if we have one, it's in pieces in our ritual. In order to not break my obligation, I'm going to just try to piece something together paraphrased from our ritual. Here's what I came up with. I believe in a supreme being. I believe that I should meet my brothers on the level, act by the plumb and part upon the square. I believe in brotherly love, relief, and truth. I believe that I need to subdue my passions and improve myself in Masonry. I am taken and accepted among brothers and fellows. I have been often tried, never denied, and am being ready to be tried again. I hold my obligations as binding. I know the meaning of the letter G. I try to apply the cardinal virtues in my everyday life. I believe that I have a fourfold duty to my country, my neighbor, my family, and myself. I will work to aid in the relief of distressed brother master masons, their widows, and orphans. I work every day in the quarry and make my rough ashlar into a perfect one. I am a master mason. Does the valediction above sum up what it is to be a Freemason? Would this be something that you'd be willing to repeat in your lodge at the end of your meetings? I think it gives a good summary of core beliefs, but I'm not sold on it. There is one thing that really bothers me about it. The phrase, improve myself in Masonry. What does this mean? How does one improve themselves in Masonry? Getting pushy. How many of you have been to the end of a third degree to hear one of the various men assembled say something like this to the newly raised Master Mason? You get out of Masonry what you put into it. Are we not already basically telling the new Master Mason, hey bro, I'm glad you're a Mason. Don't sweat coming back though. As long as you pay your dues, it's cool. Don't we need to set our expectations instead of lowering them? The idea that we're perpetuating is that we only care about the candidate until he's raised, and after that, they're on their own. We don't seem to care about the guy once he walks out of that door as a Master Mason. This is so utterly and completely wrong. It also irritates me when someone hands the newly raised Master Mason a petition to an independent body right after his degree. I mean, seriously, give their brother a break. If he wants to join the Shrine, Grotto, York Rite, Scottish Rite, he can do that in due time. Let him enjoy his moment in the sun. Don't shove something else in his face and pressure him to join XYZ body. It's just rude and unbecoming behavior for a Mason. I'll get off my soapbox now. Becoming a better man. You see, my brothers, there is a relationship between the expectations we should set for a newly raised Master Mason and those we should have for ourselves in order to improve ourselves in Masonry. I believe that they are one and the same. We need to be educated. This should be the first and foremost duty of the Lodge of Freemasons. We like to say that we take good men and make them better, but how do you do that? You have to teach them, and that means that there has to be education. How do you get teachers? You have to educate them. You see, we need to start a train-the-trainer process. Those that have knowledge need to give that knowledge to those that do not. I'm not only talking about Masonic knowledge. Part of becoming a better man is learning how to be one. We need to teach each other how to behave in public, on social media, in private. We need to teach each other what to wear to lodge and the importance of a good suit. We need to teach each other how to use technology. We need to teach each other how to be leaders. Then, of course, we need to share our knowledge of ritual, floorwork, esoterica, and our ideas about the history of Freemasonry. We need to mentor each other, and the mentoring shouldn't be a one-way process. It should be reciprocal for each man. Each man should have something that he can contribute that the other man or men in the lodge don't know. By sharing this information, we learn and become well-rounded individuals. Participation. We need to be held accountable. How many times have you been at a stated meeting and had an activity in the community or socially in the lodge come up for a vote? Everyone thinks it's a marvelous idea and everyone votes unanimously to do it. Then the time for the event comes and it's you and one other brother who shows up. My brothers, this is unacceptable. If you don't want to participate, don't vote for the activity. If you vote for an event, then you're basically volunteering to be there and participate. It is, quite frankly, disheartening for me as a worshipful master to say that this happens time and time again in my lodge. Yes, I understand that family and work comes first, which is why I stated above to not vote for something you have no intention of showing up on. This doesn't just apply to social gatherings or community events. If we have a degree or other work, you need to show up. Once again, there's a good chance the date was discussed in the meeting. If you can't make it, then explain that in the meeting. That's assuming that you're coming to the meeting. I'll address that in a second. On social media, we need to remember that we represent something bigger than ourselves. How many times have you seen something on Facebook posted by a fellow Mason that is in questionable taste? Remember that if you post an opinion and you have a square and compass in your profile picture, people are going to make assumptions about Masonry. We shouldn't be engaging in religious or political debate on social media if we have a Masonic symbol all over our Facebook homepage. We also need to watch what we say in public. Don't cry about the lack of millennials joining Lodge when you were just calling them snowflakes a minute ago. I'm tired of having to bite my tongue when you spout off about anybody who's gay, African American, Muslim, Jew, insert minority or religion here. I don't agree with you. I don't want to say anything because you're a brother, and I'm trying to be respectful of my obligation, but you're just wrong if you're doing this. Don't put me in a position where I need to hold you accountable in public or on social media. You should be able to hold yourself accountable. See the part about subduing your passions above. Remember, you represent Freemasonry all of the time. There's no off-duty time. The quality meeting. We need to make our meetings into quality events. We should have nice meals before the meeting. We should think about having a nice cigar or a drink after the meeting. We should dress up for every meeting. We should have quality education at every meeting. We should have some discussion about the education at every meeting. We should keep the business to a minimum so that we can focus on the above things. The same holds for degree work. We need to set a standard that everyone agrees to follow. We need to work so that everyone who is there knows their role. Because once again, it boils down to expectation. If we set the expectation with our degree work for the candidate, they think that this is what Freemasonry is all about. Telling them that they get out of Freemasonry what they put into it has led us to our current predicament. Set the expectation of having them come to meetings and make the meetings so spectacular that they don't want to miss them. Continuing to read the minutes, communications, etc. was necessary when we didn't have the ability to mass communicate. Now most of the business can be done via email or private webpage or Facebook group. The business part of the meeting shouldn't be taking 2 hours. If they are, you're doing it wrong. Trust me, I'm currently worshipful master of a lodge doing it wrong. The West Gate. We need to guard the West Gate. When we begin to only admit men that will adhere to and buy into the above, then we will be able to advance ourselves. If the current members of your lodge aren't buying into what needs to happen, it's because they weren't vetted properly. If we continue to vote in every man with a checkbook and money for dues and degree fees, what are we really doing? We need to be closing the doors and guarding them, not letting them remain open for everyone. Not every man deserves to be a Freemason. Call it elitism. I only want the best for the fraternity. If we profess to make good men better, then we should only be admitting good men. We need to admit men that agree with the core principles we've laid out above. You see, not every Mason takes the meaning of improving themselves in Masonry to heart. If they did, I wouldn't have set out the expectations above. They say their obligation, they kiss the Bible, but did they really understand the words? Did they listen during the lectures? They should already be doing the things I've mentioned above. Not every Mason is. They think they are working on their rough ashlars, but it's quite clear that they are just making them rougher. They are not subduing their passions. A solution. So what's the solution, you may ask? My answer is this. If you're not getting the experience in Masonry that you desire, either join a lodge that gives you this experience or find like-minded individuals from a lodge that gives you this experience. You can't expect to change Freemasonry wholesale. It's too institutionalized. There are too many members that will resist any change you offer, even if it makes sense. So I say, reject the reality and substitute your own. Create your own little corner of the world with some like-minded brethren. It's going to take work. But wouldn't you rather work for something that you have a say in building and creating? I know I would. Darren A. Laners. So, that piece, super interesting. I found a lot of the things that Darren was frustrated with and he's seeing over time are things that we've all seen over time. And maybe you don't agree with every sentiment inside that piece, but there are points in there that I think are really valid. And it's something that I want to address in the next segment of this show. But first, the Masonic Minute. With illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison.
In the 1962 Indiana senatorial campaign, young Democratic upstart Birch Bayh went up against venerable Republican incumbent Homer E. Capehart in a relatively conservative state where young Bayh's chances were not seen as very good. The two candidates, Masonic brothers, went after each other in a brutal campaign that was too close to predict right down to the bitter end. Toward the end of the race, Bayh's campaign staff came up with new words to a little ditty from a 1960 Broadway show starring Lucille Ball, Wildcat. The song was "Hey, Look Me Over." It's a song so catchy you can almost hear the tune as you read the lyrics. Hey, look me over, lend me an ear. Fresh out of clover, mortgaged up to here. Bayh's staff modified the lyrics to tout his campaign, and for the last few weeks of the race, inundated Hoosier voters with it. Or, as Time magazine put it, in the last 2 weeks of the campaign, Hoosiers heard little else on radio and television stations. After Bayh's song blitz, he had practically every Hoosier, Republican and Democrat, humming the tune or singing. Hey, look him over. He's your kind of guy. His first name is Birch. His last name is Bayh. Candidate for senator for the Hoosier state. For Indiana, he'll do more than anyone has done before, Indiana's own Birch Bayh, and so on. According to one Hoosier who was there to hear it, you simply could not get the song out of your head and could not turn on radio or TV without hearing it. There were a lot of factors that led to Birch Bayh winning by the slimmest of margins in 1962. Bayh's charisma, President Kennedy's support, Capehart coming across like a fuddy-duddy, and more. But analysts give that song most of the credit. Bayh himself is convinced it put him over the top. Time magazine reported, after the Indiana populace heard the song for the 22,356th time in the autumn of 1962, Birch Bayh went to Washington. Brother Birch Bayh went on to a stellar career in the U.S. Senate and was briefly, in 1976, considered a frontrunner for the Democratic presidential nomination. When the 1968 senatorial campaign rolled around, Bayh ran for re-election, and Hoosiers braced their ears to hear that successful campaign song over and over again. But Bayh's campaign jingle, which had proven so successful, was never heard again. Why? With the song still in copyright, the Republicans, badly burned by it 6 years earlier, bought the rights to the tune and quietly put it on the shelf. Despite having his theme song silenced, Brother Bi won the election and eventually served 18 years in the U.S. Senate.
Senator, I've got a recording I'd like to play. I wonder if you recognize it.
Hey, look him over. He's my kind of guy. His first name is Birch. His last name is Bi. Candidate for senator of our Hoosier State. For Indiana, he will do more than anyone has done before. So, hey, look him over. He's your kind of guy. Send him to Washington on Bi. You can rely. In November, remember him at the polls. His name you can't pass by. Indiana's own Birch.
For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
So I said I wanted to address part of this article in terms of kind of expounding on it. You see, social media is a wonderful thing, but we have a lot of guys out there in Freemasonry who are known, and we tend to do this thing where we forget that we're Masons online or something. And we get some questionable posts. If you're a Mason out there and everybody knows you're a Mason and you even like a post, you know, that shows up on a timeline on Facebook that so-and-so liked this post. Now, some of those things are fine, but I shouldn't need to know the kind of people you're into intimately or anything else for that matter. So this segment in the episode, I just want to cover a few interesting things, and we'll kind of title this section, The Impact of Negative Social Media on Your Employer Brand, right? So if our employer is Freemasonry, what you post reflects negatively on the brand of Freemasonry, like it or not. So we'll start off with some facts. The number one source of talent year after year is referrals. 90% of referrals are made by employees. So if we think about that corporate fact, that's the same in Freemasonry. Our number one source of candidates are our referrals, who are brought in by our own Masons already. 50% of the employees post about their employer on social media. So when we think about that, that's like saying 50% of us post about Masonry on social media, and I'll bet more of us do than that. Most of us have 200 to 300 friends, and that equates to 4 plus billion likes and shared posts per day. Think about the far reach of what we're doing and what we're liking and what we're putting on social media, guys. 16% of folks in the job and labor markets actually admit to sharing criticism or negative comments about their employer online. 79% of people who post said that they hope their friends and family see the posts. So I would assume you post only when you want people to find something or see something that you're posting, but you're doing it deliberately. You hope somebody sees this. So if you are a Mason out there and you post a picture of, let's just say, a scantily clad lady, you're hoping other people see that. And is that reflecting negatively on the fraternity? Because guilty by association. And what you post about the fraternity or what you post about yourself reflects on the fraternity, and people automatically assume that the fraternity is built around people like you. And so we need to think about that. I ran across one of these interesting lists, like top 10 lists the other day, and it was 10 people who have lost their jobs over social media mistakes. People have lost their jobs over photographs and statuses. We had a politician, Anthony Weiner, who got busted, right? In March of 2009, a guy, Connor Riley, was offered a job at Cisco. He tweeted it and lost his job with his current employer. A famous Pro Bowl running back, Larry Johnson, sent a series of inflammatory tweets back in 2009. He got in some serious hot water with his employer, the Kansas City Chiefs, just over tweeting. Gilbert Gottfried, even, you may have heard of this comedian, he made jokes about the Japanese tsunami, and he had a contract with Aflac Insurance, and he lost that gig. So The list goes on and on, guys, and I guess this is just a warning. I really want to let you know that the concern is real because I see it every day in my own grand jurisdiction. I wanted to just go ahead and read for you from the Miami Herald. I actually had an interesting article back in 2017, and it was called Common Sense Professionalism Rule, CEO Social Media Policies. And I get that this is not Masonic, but this has to do with how we attract our members, how we retain our members, and our public image, which I think we should really all be concerned with. So number one is from Ron Antevny. He's the president and CEO of eBuilder. He said, "Our only rule is to apply common sense when using social media. Don't post anything that would embarrass the company or yourself. That said, social media is an active communication channel for several of their teams, and they encourage their employees to like, share, and retweet company and industry news." Interesting, though, that he says that don't post anything that would embarrass the company or yourself. And if you think that posting certain things aren't embarrassing for your other members, I think you need to think about that again. I need to think about that. We all do. Maria, a behavior analyst and president of Progressive Behavioral Science, says they have no specific rules on social media beyond the professional and ethical obligations that our important normal work ethic entails. Patricia Alizi, she's the managing editor of Alizi Law Firm, says that social media presence of the business is way too important to our growth to allow my employees access. So that's really interesting. She goes on to say, "The messages, pictures, and articles that are posted online are carefully selected by myself or our social media manager. I have monthly meetings with my social media manager where we discuss what target audience we would like to attract and we come up with a plan." So what's interesting there is nobody's allowed to post about company policy without it going through a PR committee. Richard Fain, chairman and CEO of Royal Caribbean Cruises. This was a pretty interesting one. He said, "Let's be thankful that there are only 140 characters in a tweet. Imagine the damage that could be done with more. Social media is one of the most exciting tools available to any business today. It's also one of the most frightening. It reminds me of my first dating experience when I was in high school. Thrilled by the potential, terrified of doing it wrong." And we should never really get too comfortable, I think. That's a really interesting thing when we think about how we post online and manage our Masonic presence online. How we act could negatively impact the fraternity just by posting one thing, even if it's out of context. So we need to think about that. David Martin, president and co-founder of Terra, he says, "We encourage all of our employees to be active on social media in their personal time, but we remind them that they are also representing the Terra brand. We advise them to be careful when discussing topics where emotions run high, such as politics and religion, and to show respect for opinions of others." This one, of all of them, is probably the most relevant for our fraternity because I see people not doing this on a regular basis. And that's really it, guys. I don't want to take too much time on this. This is a shorter episode this week. I do have to drive to St. Louis to attend the reunion and do a little presentation out there. So I hope you guys enjoyed this shorter episode and you gained a little bit out of this and maybe something to think about for our brothers out there who may need some assistance in social media postings and whatnot. I'm sure I'm not talking to the people who are committing these acts on social media, but rather maybe this just helps you gain some affirmation about your own concerns, validating your own concerns about what you're seeing. So with that, I hope you guys all have an amazing week. Just want to remind you, please go to wcypodcast.com and support the show by hovering over support the show, and you can either make a direct donation or a recurring donation. We have our limited edition shop where you can pick up lapel pins, the cufflinks, and the money clips. We have the new Great Books program. Please check that out. Banker's Best, where you're going to get the best beard oils, beard wash, balms, all that awesome stuff right there from Banker's Best from our friend and brother Levi Banker, who is the owner of Banker's Best. If you'd like to go direct to the website, please go to buybankersbest.com, but don't forget to use our promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, and you'll get a good percentage off there, so the Levi will take care of you. We also have our sponsorship with Onnit Labs, and of course, WCY and Thrive. So please consider checking any of those things out, and a huge thanks goes out to all of our amazing contributors, and a special thanks to illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison for his awesome contribution this week. Until next week, stay on the level. Whence came you? I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.